When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Let me just run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
This summer, click into cordless power with Memorial Day savings at the Home Depot. Tackle more than half an acre of grass with the convenience and gas-like power of the Ryobi 40-volt battery-powered mower. And keep your flower beds looking fresh with the 40-volt cordless string trimmer. Then clear leaves and debris with the 40-volt leaf blower. No cords, no gas, no hassle. Click into Memorial Day savings happening now at the Home Depot and on HomeDepot.com. How doers get more done.
Hi, Christy.
Hey, Will.
How are you?
I'm so good.
Are you centered? You seem centered.
I'm glad, because, you know, I have a green screen behind me, and we can do anything with this that we want. We could animate this background.
I think we could. I like the inflection, too. We can animate this background, which is different than animating the background, which is fun.
Don't anna-hate, okay?
No.
Don't anna-hate on the green screen.
I think so, but hit us up at all of our different socials, which, again, I don't know the addresses. I don't know social media stuff. What is our social stuff?
I Hear Voices podcasts
okay,
on
cool.
Instagram and TikTok.
And TikTok. So hit us up and let us know, respectfully, please, what we should have on the green screen behind Christy. I think that would be great. I have a green screen as well. I always make mine look like the same booth with books in the back.
Smart. Just consistency is key.
That's the best way to do it. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. I feel like I only get to talk to you when we podcast.
It's really lame because we went from going to Comic-Cons together like week after week for a good 2 months. And then it's now we don't talk. We don't write. We just podcast.
I know. It's the best, isn't it?
It's no. I like you.
I like you too.
Sorry,
I like you too.
I did get feedback from another podcast my other podcast. And they were like, oh, so you're like a theater kid. And I was like, well, yeah, what else?
As opposed to what? I don't get what that means.
Oh, man. We had a great show last week. Dietrich Bader was fantastic.
How good was
wasn't
Dietrich?
He?
How good was Dietrich? There are so many like life lessony things, but specifically in the life of an entertainer and an actor that were so helpful that were really pretty amazing. So, we've talked about. And it's so funny because it seems like it's so, I don't know, it seems like it is so kind of like self-promoting when we have talked about our amazing, incredible contest that is coming up, the super awesome contest to become the next big voice actor.
I can say it now. Maybe.
I didn't even look it up. I didn't write it down.
Yay.
But one of the things you said, which is absolutely true, which is one of the best ways to prepare for the super awesome contest to become the next big voice actor, is to go back and watch some of our old episodes. And again, it sounds like we're kind of promoting ourselves, but most, if not all, of the actors that we've had on have the greatest advice, the greatest different kind of exercises you can use. I mean, again, you were talking about Dietrich and just his advice on being an actor, putting yourself into it. I was mesmerized. I'm not going to lie. I woke up that morning feeling a little disillusioned with some parts of the industry. And you always get, as an actor, you always kind of go through these different things. And after we talked to him, I was like, I'm in the best business in the world. Like, he just made you feel good, you know? It was great.
He really did. He was a really wonderful person with a great worldview, in my opinion. I think our business can make people jaded sometimes, but the good thing about the community of voice actors is that they are so lighthearted and they love what they do. And I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think our contest is amazing. You know how many people come up to us anytime we're at a Comic-Con or like, how can I break into this industry?
Yeah.
And I mean, if you're going to be famous, you might as well be famous doing something where all the people around you are happy.
Yeah, I love that too. Plus, I just love you know, it's not about being famous with VO, which is what's so great. It's about the joy of, I mean, we're talking, you and I always kind of joke and talk about how, you know, as voiceover actors, and we've also talked about children, where I have been very lucky in my life not to have any kids.
keep them away from kids.
Yeah. As voiceover actors, though, we talk about, like, what's it like to have Eric Bauza read you a bedtime story? What's it like to have these actors come on and just tell a story to their children? I mean, it's just the coolest thing in the world. There's that love and that joy of the voiceover industry, and it's just such a different niche from the rest of the industry. And
it's just
growing.
Fun to play.
Yes, exactly.
It is growing, right? It is. I mean,
I've
always thought
there's
like...
it's becoming more inclusive, which is what it's needed for a very long time. So that's a good thing. In that sense, it's a very, very good thing. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things that's been able to allow us to do this contest. What was the name of the contest again, Christy?
Oh boy, you do this every time where I have my guard down, and then you're like, "Go for it."
What was it? I can't remember the name.
No, I really don't know. I'm gonna write it down next time, Will, and it's gonna be a post-it, and I'm never gonna make this mistake
you're
again.
You're gonna be crowning the winner, and and you're gonna be like, "Thank you so much for joining the." What was it called?
Today. For us today.
It's the super awesome contest to become the next big voice actor.
Super awesome contest to become the next big voiceover actor. Right?
Just voice actor. I don't think we added over. And I think at the
end
of the day, we
sense.
Probably should have.
You think?
No,
I think
I don't
it's
know.
Perfect.
I like it.
And they can follow us and all of our announcements about the contest that are coming up. You know, on socials, and of course, like he said, like listen to other episodes to brush up on your skills because big things are coming.
And there's a number of reasons why we are not getting into the actual specifics of what's happening because we're
people
working out a
whole
bunch
of stuff.
People
must be like so frustrated.
I know, but that's the thing. You got to understand, we are working out some things that are so I don't want to build it up too much, but they're so unbelievably awesome that you're going to love it.
So today we have an amazing guest. It's Amy Landecker.
That's right. She plays Ugga on The Croods Family Tree, and season 2 is now streaming on Peacock and Hulu.
Amy Landecker, we're super excited to have you here on I Hear Voices.
Thank you. It's fun to be here.
Thank you for joining us. Thank you so much for joining us. I don't know if you've been told this, but you are here for our Golden Girls episode, where that's all we're going to be talking about is the 80s sitcom.
Really? No, no one mentioned it to me.
No, I'm kidding. That would be the worst, isn't it? If you just weren't prepared to do whatever. It's like, we're going to be talking about season 3 of Magnum P.I. Are you ready?
I just finished. Such an incredible coincidence. Excellent. I just finished.
Excellent. How are you?
I'm good. I meant to like dry my hair and be a little more presentable, but the day got away from me. So you're getting like, I feel like this is my detective look from Your Honor, but it doesn't matter. This is a voiceover.
Isn't it wonderful? Does it affect your performance when you know you're just doing voiceover and all you have to concentrate on is just your performance?
It's so free. I mean, it's weird. I'm a weird on-camera actor because I actually try to do it like I'm doing voiceover. Like I go into hair and makeup, and then for the rest of the day that I shoot, I have this really strange ritual where I never look at myself the entire day. So I won't, if I go to the bathroom,
that's so cool.
I won't look. If I'm in my trailer, I won't look because I don't actually want to think about it because I think I started in voiceover and I learned, and theater, which is a much freer form too because you don't have like a camera drilling down on you.
Yeah.
And, you know, people are always like, you have no vanity or ego in your work. I'm like, because I'll look terrible and not care. But I really think that came from starting in voiceover and theater and wanting to keep that freedom. I don't want to like limit myself worrying about, I mean, the times I'm the most dysfunctional in this business is like red carpet stuff where I'm just like, ugh! Like, because I do come from the tradition of like, blah, 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 you know, like just like,
yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Like use your hands, use your voice, be whatever, and you have no limits. So I feel really lucky for that because I feel like it's helped me not fall into some of the traps of the on-camera world, although, you know, certainly I'm susceptible like anybody else, but I try to remember that, my roots and how much I enjoy that freedom, you know, of that.
Interesting. Yeah. So it's a balance for sure, Amy, because like, you know, you do like to, you know, put some makeup on and walk the carpet now and then.
Yeah, you want to look
good
for sure, but it's like the pressure sometimes, it just feels nice to take that away completely and voiceover always takes it away.
Yeah.
It, you know,
I
always takes
hate
it away.
Red carpets.
Yeah. And well, people are always
I
like, isn't it fun? I'm like, let me ask you.
Ugh.
you. do you like having your picture taken? Do you like, and most 90% of people, nobody's like, oh my God, I love having my picture taken.
Right.
Those are the same people that loved high school.
Exactly.
Like, oh my God, I loved high school. Like,
yeah,
what?
I'm like, nah, nah.
Yeah, come on. It's a very rare
person who I think enjoys all of it. But, you know, I mean, it looks really good from the couch at home. That's what I realized. I was like, no, it's actually much more fun to watch than it is to do it, you know, because it's stressful. But voiceover's always
been
like,
it's a performance.
And I, you know, my dad's a disc jockey. I don't know if you guys knew that in Chicago. So I don't know, very, 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 he's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame Museum. He's been he's in the Hall of Fame, he was inducted.
What's his name? John Records Landecker.
So he was on WLS.
Oh, yeah.
So I grew up around microphones is my point and kind of like.
Oh,
not...
yeah. Well, I mean, he had to get into that with a middle name of Records.
I know. And that's really his middle name. But here's the crazy.
Is it really?
But the craziest thing is his first radio job, they told him to change his name to Scott Walker because they said, you'll never work in this business with John Records Landecker as your name, which is so weird because that's what got him into like Ripley's Believe It or Not at first because of his middle name. But he like, not only was his middle name Records, because my great-grandfather's last name was Records, so he was just given his grandfather's last name as a middle name. But he also would pretend... By the way, I'm so distracted by how beautiful Christy is. I'm like, well, there's an on-camera person. Like, right there, the hair.
Not really.
It goes away. It goes away fast.
It's
just green. Yeah,
is that what it is? Oh, yes. You know, that's what most people, I would say, makes them more beautiful is like a big green screen in the back.
Stop.
No.
First of all, you're right. Most of our guests say exactly that. They're like, oh, my God, I'm so mesmerized by Christy. And Will, I can see why you picked voiceover. So I get that
he's
too.
He's a character. He's Batman.
You are very good looking for a person on a microphone. Very.
Thank you. That's very sweet.
He pretended he was a disc jockey in his closet as a kid. Like he always wanted. So I grew up actually reading. Like I would literally be in the bathroom and take an Aveeno bottle and be like, I would make ads like protect and hydrate sunscreen. And that's what I did as a kid.
No.
Yeah.
Really? So you're starting ad reads?
I swear to God. I have no, and then, I mean, that's what I did before animation for a good 15 years in VO. I was just commercial until I moved to LA. And I always wanted to do animation because of course that's the creative side of it.
Sure.
But I'm also not a natural, you know, it's so funny. I watch the Croods and I see these like insanely gifted voiceover actors who can do like 1,000 things. That is not my gift. I'm so in awe of them. And I think that's why it took me a while to get into animation because it sort of offshot more from my on-camera career that I started to get to do it, which I feel really, really lucky about. But no, I was always like the voice of Hallmark or Cymbalta or like, you know, just very serious, very emotional.
That's huge.
Oh, it was fantastic. It was incredible. I loved every second of it. And I felt very, very
There's
lucky.
Nothing that makes you feel like you don't belong in a room like standing next to Dee Bradley.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's like you walk in going, oh, I think I'm pretty good at this. And then you're like, oh, man, I have no idea what I'm doing.
The gifts are, it's extraordinary, really. It's kind of extraordinary.
It's insane. It really is.
We started the Croods in COVID, in quarantine. That's when we first started recording, when you weren't leaving the house, right? When we were all like afraid to open a box from Amazon. So we did like this where we met on Zoom.
Sure.
I mean, I got to watch everybody do their performances for the first like 6 episodes and it was pretty intimidating. I was like, oh my God, so talented, so funny. And normally you don't really have access to that process at all. It's just you alone. So it was cool.
I want to go back. Origin story time. We got to do your origin story. Okay. So you're from Chicago.
Yeah.
And you said you started on stage. So other than doing what most kids do, which is sitting in the bathroom and doing ad reads from a shampoo bottle, totally normal, by the way. Yeah. Again, to other voiceover actors, it's like, yeah, okay.
Right, that's true.
Did you know that entertainment was something that you always wanted to do?
You know, my sister and I used to like write plays and perform them at for our parents when we were really little. And then in high school, I ended up going to this small private school in Chicago called Francis Parker, which oddly was not a performance arts school, but we had a lot of wonderful actors. So much so that Gene Siskel, when he was still alive and was a big film critic, came to visit our school to find out, like, what was it about this theater program? Because wow. we weren't a performance school, but we had, like, Billy Zane came from our school, and wow. Daryl Hannah, and this was when those movies were, like, huge, wow. like Splash.
What?
And then from my class alone was... I mean, I make a living at it. This guy, Paul Adelstein, who's on Prison Break and who's a very, you know, he's on camera all the time. I don't know what else he's been doing. But and Tim Griffin, who's another actor from Chicago that I just did a movie with, Searching 2. And R.I.P. Ann Haitch was in our class and just passed so tragically. Wow. But we were a very we did tons of plays, all four of us. I was in, you know, all the plays. And I went to college thinking... I will be honest with you, speaking of looks, I didn't think I was, like, the look of an actress on camera at the time when I was in high school, and so it never really, like, occurred to me that I could make a living at acting, and I went to University of Wisconsin, and I was going to be a broadcaster, so that, and I think because of my dad, and I loved sports, and I love Chicago sports, and I thought I'd be a female sportscaster, which I think is actually a really great idea.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah, I think it would have been an amazing career path, but I did end up... getting a crush on an acting teacher in college who told me to join the acting program. So, of course, to be near him, I joined the acting program and started kind of inadvertently falling into it. And then when I got out of college, my sister started a theater company with some friends from New York, and they asked me to do a show with them. And I just got these insane reviews. And I was like, oh, I guess I can do this. And at the same time, Amy Brenneman, who now I've become friends with and I get mistaken for all the time, oddly enough, was on NYPD Blue, and people started to say to me, you look just like this actress on NYPD Blue. And the irony that, like, 25 years later, I would live in LA, and many times people will come up to me and be like, I love you on The Leftovers, or they'll tell her, I love you on Transparent, and we're like, I'm not that Amy. So weird. Wow. So weird. But she sort of was like an inspiration, like, oh, maybe I could do that, you know?
She's from our neck of the woods. Amy Brenneman, I believe, is a Connecticut native.
Is she really?
And I think her mom was a judge, which is why she did Judging Amy.
That's right.
And both my parents are Connecticut lawyers.
Oh, you're kidding.
Her mother,
really, like, brilliant. Like,
what?
What
is it about Chicago that is just in the water there, where everyone is so freaking talented?
Well,
what is it
about? I mean, it is weird. I was talking to someone about the theater scene there, too. Like, nobody...
Yeah.
I think the weather, first of all, like, you're locked inside, like, most of the year,
right.
And there's no right. other, I think there's a real, like, working class attitude about acting that actually makes people, like, very grounded and very realistic. Yeah. Like, Steppenwolf Theater was obviously, like, this massive influence on even the way people act now on camera in general, like, that really rock and roll, like, rooted naturalism. And I think because we knew, I mean, it was funny because I actually, so I did a play with Michael Shannon, who's been nominated for a million Oscars and is a big Chicago guy, Boardwalk Empire and stuff. I did a play with him at the Red Orchid Theater, and an agent came and I did a bunch of voices in it. And she said, have you ever thought about doing voiceover? So I actually got into voiceover from literally a play that I did.
Wow.
And didn't realize too that the only way to make money as an actor in Chicago and a living wage is to either do on-camera commercials or voiceover, because there's not enough film work, there's not enough TV work. You're never going to be, you know, you're not going to make a living. Maybe now with all the Chicago PD shows, but maybe that's one or two people who get that contract. So there are all these ad agencies. You know, there's J. Walter Thompson, there's Leo Burnett. All these ad agencies are based in Chicago. So it allowed, like, theater people and Second City and those kinds of actors to stay. I wasn't going to leave Chicago. I left because a play took me to New York. I was just going to live there and do voiceover and make a great living and do theater and be creatively fulfilled. As soon as I worked in New York, I was like, oh, everyone's in New York is not everyone, but there's definitely a sense when you're in New York, there's way more pressure because there's, like, way more money involved. And there's a sense that you might get something from it, or you're also working on camera. So you're always, like, one foot out the door to leave, to do something. Like, Chicago, there's nothing else to do. You know, you're just there to do
right.
the play. And I think that it makes for some of the best acting I've ever seen, honestly.
I also think Chicago has a real emphasis on improv.
Yes, that's true.
And too. Improv is one of the most important facets of any style of acting. I don't care if you are a voiceover actor, if you're on stage, if you're a dramatic actor. Just being able to instantly think on your feet and work
and
a
react,
crowd,
you know,
and react
and
listen,
be like stuck.
And
yeah, that you're listening.
Exactly.
That's really true. It's really true.
It makes a huge difference, and there is such an emphasis on that with Second City and everything else that's there.
And Amy and Steppenwolf has like an improvisatory, like you were saying, even in Trauma, we've all either taken classes at Second City or it's such a vibe in Chicago. You're right that energy can be used even if you're not actually changing the words every time. But you're creatively improvising, like you're emotionally improvising. Mm-hmm. You're being open to it being different every night, and that's not true everywhere else. I feel like people get really
locked. I agree 100%.
Well, and Amy, you said that you don't do like 1,000 voices, but that's not, I mean, I don't, I would maybe it's not Dee Bradley Baker like that talent that he has, right? Yeah. But I think that you're also a testament to being rooted in all of that educational, you know, development and all of that beautiful technique work over those years. Really, though, because I definitely struggled, you know, when we were doing Kim Possible and other things, where you have to enrich the voices that you do with so much subtext in the choices that you make in the voice, that there's a lot more that goes into it that makes you a good voice actor, rather, you know what I'm saying? So you don't need to do 1,000 voices to be a good voice actor.
Oh, no, I agree 100%. That's right? And that's one of the things is people think that being a great voice actor means doing 1,000 voices, and a lot of us can't.
Yeah.
I mean, that is to sit next to a John DiMaggio or a Dee Bradley Baker or a Tara Strong and watch them do 15 voices, they're amazing at that. That's why they are who they are.
Yeah.
Most people can't do that.
Yeah.
Tired of restless nights? Meet Lisa, the sleep experts. Here at Lisa, we know that good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. That's why their mattresses are made for exceptional comfort and support, catering to every sleep need. Check out Lisa's Sapira Hybrid Mattress, named Best Hybrid Mattress 5 years running. Sleep hot? The Chill Collection is built with cool-to-the-touch top fabric and layers of high-density comfort foams, all intended to remove excess body heat while maximizing comfort. With Lisa, getting a new mattress has never been easier. Delivery is free, and you have 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. Don't spend another night dreaming of better sleep. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus 2 free pillows. Go to lisa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. That's leesa.com/iHeart. Exclusions apply. See lisa.com for more details.
Are you spending more time in your basement now that it's your rec room, office, kids' playroom, or home gym? Well, you need to ventilate those spaces to remove stagnant, musty air. For over 20 years, the Easy Breathe ventilation system exchanges dirty, damp air for cleaner, drier, healthier air. Take charge of your indoor air with your own Easy Breathe ventilation system. You can get it installed, or DIY kits are available. Just call 866-822-7328 or visit takechargeofyourair.com and receive 20% off today.
Let me just run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
I have several questions following up on a couple things you said. The first is, because I can't get this out of my head, Searching 2. Is that T-O-O or Searching 2?
It
as
is.
As in, it's the second
so
searching.
So there is a searching.
Non-searching.
Searching. I think it's, yeah, I'm going to make sure. See, this is, my husband always has a joke, like, if only we had a device, when I'm like, I just want
to
make sure.
I say the same thing to my wife, but I love the fact that, are you Googling your own film?
Yes, because, well, because I want to make sure I get this right. So Searching 1,
yes.
I just want to make sure, it's 2018. It was actually a huge hit. I know, obviously, you haven't heard of it because you're asking me what Searching 2 is.
Well, no, that's not funny if it was Searching also.
No,
as in
but
T-O-O,
there's literally like
it was
a there is a sequel, although not totally related. And But searching one, and I am now I am going to look up my own movie.
Oh wow, I starred in this.
Well, I don't have like a huge part in it or anything. But I'm fine. It's good. It's Nia Long and Ken Leung and Storm Reid. And so I play the best. Anyway, I'm not even going to say what I'm like her mom's best friend. And both of that and the first one are found footage. They're all found footage. So it's like,
okay.
Like, gotcha. And like I've done
Blair Witch.
I did another found footage and I can't remember the name of it.
Oh God, you have to Google another film you're in.
Like, I want to say Paranormal too, but that's not it.
Let's pretend it is. Let's pretend it is.
Yeah, Paranormal 2.
What was it like shooting Paranormal 2?
It was really fun. I had a great time. This one is like, I just think that there's some that are more like, I really felt like the first, I watched Searching One before I said yes to Searching Two because I did not know about Searching One, which I will say, I think it was a Sundance movie. So it didn't have high expectations. So then the fact that it made as much money as it did, they were like, we need to do a sequel. So, but it works really, really well. Like I felt like they really pulled it off and hopefully this one does too. It was so weird though, because Tim Griffin and I, in our graduating class at Francis Parker, there was about 60 kids. So it's not a really big class.
Yeah, it's small.
And we're like walking down the hall at our fitting. And I'm like, what the hell are you doing here? And we'd been cast in this movie together. And we had our 35-year high school reunion this year too. And we were like there at the reunion going like, we just did this movie together. It's very small world.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was really fun. Really fun.
I tell people that I star in a whole bunch of never found footage. Like, I did 11 movies last year. They just have never been able to find any of the footage.
Did you just make that up, or is that really?
I did.
That's
yeah,
really good.
Improv.
I'm going to tell.
He's improv
that's
guy.
That's really funny. I did a bunch of never found footage.
Never found footage films. I was very good in several of
them. That's really funny.
My other question for you is, you're a huge Chicago sports fan, but you go to school in Wisconsin on Wisconsin Fight?
Uh-oh.
I'm curious
about this.
I go about
Badgers. Okay, first of all, I'm not a huge Chicago college sports fan.
Okay, you're a pro. You're the Bulls and the Blackhawks and
absolutely.
The Bears.
Yeah, I don't have any investment in any Illinois colleges like Northwest.
Okay, fair enough.
I mean, not that I don't want Northwestern to win or whatever. Like,
of course.
But I'm not. If anything, my both of my grandparents were professors at University of Michigan, and so I grew up with like Go Blue. Big time. Like it was all about
what did they teach?
My one was a sociology professor and one was architecture.
Wow, really cool.
Yeah. And my one Project Almanac. See, I did look it up. Project Almanac.
You did.
Not Paranormal 2. Anyway, my grandfather, well, here's all my trivia about my family. My great grandfather on my mom's side was Joseph Nye Welch, who prosecuted McCarthy. So I came from a very like cool, like American history story of a Republican who was really decent. And not that they can't exist now, but it was at a time when it was, he did some really amazing things. And then my dad's family was like the Democrats of Ann Arbor. So there were these two families and they loved each other and they got along. They were completely opposite politically. But my dad's dad was blind. He lost his eyesight at like age 30 through something that now we could easily fix. And he still became a professor. He was a German Jew. He left during World War II. He escaped because University of Michigan sponsored him to come over here. He was a really bright, brilliant guy who would not have survived if he stayed in Berlin. So they smuggled him out and he became a professor and the head of the sociology department and wrote textbooks blind. So I come from a very brilliant, I always say I'm just dumb enough to be happier than a lot of people in my family. Like I'm not, luckily not as smart as all the really smart, hard thinkers.
Wow.
But anyway, that's I thought it was always interesting that my dad became a disc jockey with a blind parent, and it was something that like he could relate to. How did I get on my family?
Well, yeah.
Where did I go? Oh, sound. Michigan.
No, but that's great.
Go
Michigan.
Blue.
Yeah, we're talking about Michigan.
Go Blue.
Yes.
It was a big turn. So I was really into University of Michigan, but I didn't want to go to University of Michigan because my grandparents were there. And I didn't want to go to University of Illinois because it was too close to home. And I wanted to go to a Big Ten school because I was really into football. I was a huge football fan.
Okay.
Oddly, Wisconsin sucked. When I went to University of Wisconsin, we were like the worst football team. I hated the games.
Yeah.
It was completely unpleasant. I didn't realize, but that was how that. Now, really funny is my husband now, Bradley Whitford, is from University of Wisconsin, and his ex-wife went to University of Wisconsin. So I think he's
also a Connecticut boy.
Is he
Bradley?
Isn't Bradley Whitford a Connecticut boy? I believe he is.
From where?
Well, he's also a voice
actor.
Maybe
you know, it might just be his character in West Wing. That was
yes. Well, that's a fiction. That's not.
Can I ask you a question?
A real
has
person.
Your has your husband ever done his impression of a throwing up cat for you?
I actually
do. You know Bradley?
Okay, because it's one of the funniest things I've ever seen. Because I was in a movie with his ex-wife, and he
with
came
Jane.
To the set. Yeah,
that's so funny.
Jane played my
You're
mom.
You're kidding.
And no, Jane played my mom. She's wonderful. And he came and he did his impression of the throwing up cat. And it's one of the funniest things I think I've ever seen.
I
in my
need
life.
To hear this.
I can grab. Oh, I wish he was this? Here. You know why he's not here? He just took literally no joke took the cat to the vet.
Stop it! Because the cat's throwing up. Oh my god!
He does this thing. He's
it's
literally
really, really,
does, it's
really
all
disgusting.
Visual. He's like
and gross. It's
he's like backing up. He's like backing up as he's trying to. It's
a physicality.
So funny.
So
funny.
So Bradley also is a voice actor. That's
you
so
know.
Fun.
I will tell you. Here's what I want to say about the business that's so weird. First of all, yes, he does animation and he's wonderful, but he also has like one of the best, most iconic voices I've ever heard. And he drives him crazy because he's not invested in it the way you need to, but he like never gets commercial voiceover. And we watch John Hamm on like every damn commercial. And I just want to say, like,
they make
if
bank.
Somebody hire my husband, like if I had a product, animation he gets, but like, you know, he should be like the voice of a car. Like he has this
like Nissan
yes,
or something.
Yes, he has
something.
This like really soothing, wry.
Oh, I love his
iconic,
voice.
Unfortunately,
you know,
he was the bad guy in Revenge of the Nerds.
Okay,
too,
but he's also
and that's gonna
it,
shoot
but he's
it.
A good guy in Handmaid's Tale.
Well, then,
no, that's
so
once you're the
things.
Bad guy in Revenge of the Nerds too, it's over at that point.
Maybe
you're just
you're,
the bad
maybe
guy.
You're right.
I'm friends with Ted McGinley. It was the same thing. Bad guy in Revenge of the Nerds 1.
Is so he a bad guy strange. In that Marvel What If? Is he a bad guy in that?
Who?
In what?
He's in Marvel's What If.
My husband is?
That's on yeah.
Let's Google. Why don't you Google your husband real
He's
quick?
He's Colonel Flynn.
He and I were in Paranormal 3 together. Did you
Wait,
not know
I
this?
Think... Wait, I think with the Marvel thing, if I'm remembering correctly, we were having dinner with Patton Oswalt, and we had to ask Patton what the canon was of the Marvel story.
Oh, for What If.
Oh, I'm sure he knew,
whole...
right?
He knew everything because we didn't know.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. And by the way, he does
whole,
so.
Yeah.
That man works so much that like we'll get invited. This is no joke, and this sounds terrible, but he'll get invited to like a premiere, and we can't remember what movie it is. That happened more than once, where we're like, wait, which one? For what? It's like
that sounds. Yeah.
That's how much he's doing.
But that's a good thing.
Yeah, great. If you're not an actor, it's great. If you're an actor, you want to like punch him in the face.
Yeah.
You're like, we're not going, honey.
Oh, my.
It's disgusting.
All right, that's so wait, so let me good. Ask you a question. Other than reading the voiceover copy and making up the ads in your bathroom growing up, did you grow up an animation fan? Did you like cartoons and watch cartoons when you were growing
Absolutely,
up?
Absolutely, but I wouldn't say like, I mean, it wasn't anything I ever sort of envisioned myself doing. It wasn't really until I got into voiceover. There were these two camps, right? It was always like, are you commercial or are you animation? I was like, well, I'm commercial for sure, right? But then I would like, it was always like almost on camera work was that like dream. Animation became that where it's like, well, I want to do the thing where you actually like play a part, you know, and you actually get to be creative. But I mean, I grew up on, you know, Bugs Bunny. I grew up on Saturday morning cartoons. I mean, I'm so old that there were only Saturday morning cartoons. So I didn't have like the breadth that people have now. Like now it's like, oh my God, it's unbelievable what's out there. But it wasn't.
It is crazy.
No, I mean, the funny thing was, is I had the fantasy of being a commercial voiceover. My dad's friend quit being a disc jockey because he became the voice of Heinz Ketchup. And I found out how much money he made doing Heinz Ketchup. And I was like, that's the job I want. And even still to this day, there's something about the bang for your buck on a commercial voiceover that is unparalleled in any other area of this.
It's like a jackpot.
It's ridiculous. Yeah. The less work you do, the less you say, we used to always say the less words, the more money you were going to make. Like, you know, it was crazy. And I got these, I finally got into animation and I was like the Croods is really my first, if I'm not mistaken, like my first like ongoing series regular voiceover animation job. I mean, I'd done like guest stars, I'd done like recurrings, but it was the first time I really got to play a character for a series. And it has been, I mean, I've said it, like the funnest job of all jobs that I've ever had.
It's amazing,
it's
isn't it?
It's ridiculous.
You really can't beat it.
But it don't pay like the other jobs.
Exactly.
It doesn't. And that was a shock. Like, I thought, well, if you had an animated series, I remember when I booked like the Coen Brothers movie, A Serious Man, and my friends were like, well, you don't have to worry about money anymore. I was like, I think I made like $2,500. Like, there's a perception of some things that you're going to make like a lot of money. And I always thought, well, if I had a series regular on an animated show, but it doesn't work like that. Like, I mean, unless you're doing The Simpsons and you're in like year seven.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
Right.
Seven.
Right.
Try 30 to 37.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. No, it's, that's, and people don't also realize there's different stages of even animation.
Yes.
So like that you get the primetime animation is much different than daytime animation, which is much different than 11 minute animation, which is much different. So.
Yes.
So this is a perfect time, Amy, to let you in on what we're doing as well. And you can tell everybody out there how important being the awesome, voice of different products is and doing commercial reads, because we have announced here at I Hear Voices that we are doing the super awesome contest to become the next big voice actor.
Oh, really?
And it's called that. That's the whole title.
That's literally the title. And we'll be launching in the next month or two, but we are allowed to promote it right now, at least parts of it. And the first prize that we got to announce to people is the winner wins a 1-year contract with a voiceover agency.
Cool.
So one
amongst
of the
other things.
Amongst other things. Oh, there's amazing things coming up that we can't announce. But one of the things we talk about is everybody thinks that we're just going to have you come. The contestants are just going to have to come and do a whole bunch of funny voices. And what we're trying to explain to people is, no, we're looking for somebody who's well-rounded. So there might be a level or two of our contest that's just ad read.
Yeah.
So now, I mean, can you tell us as you're approaching, how different is it to approach a group of ads you're going to read as opposed to a character that you're going to develop for animation?
I think when I'm doing ad reads, I'm so much more focused on who I'm talking to, like as opposed to like in a animated series, I'm more like, I'm in my character, I'm in dialogue, but like ad is like intention. So who is my audience and what am I... What is the main message of what I'm trying to say here? And I would say like the most successful ad campaign that I was a part of was definitely Cymbalta, which was one of the early days of antidepressants. And it was this whole new genre of commercial where we were trying to talk to people who had like mental health issues and I was trying to communicate in a compassionate and empathetic way and get into the state. And you can't judge... I mean, I had a friend who tried to do commercial voiceover and he just couldn't do it because he judged it left and right. Like, you have to just go in and know, like, yes, it's an ad for something, but it needs to be treated and performed in a way that you're communicating something to somebody for a purpose, whether to heal them, to inspire them, to help them. But it's very other directed as opposed to like, and I think one of the big mistakes people make is they like think about how does my voice sound? Whereas actually in animation, that's kind of more important. A lot, like, especially when I'm playing like Ugga, we always are dropping it. They're like, drop it. Cause I need to stay in a certain zone to not sound like Hope. You know, like I need to differentiate myself. I'm
matriarch.
In a cast. Yeah. But when it's me in the spot, I mean, yes, my voice quality matters, but it's the intention behind it that's going to create the quality of the voice. So I would treat it much more a monologue in a scene, and think about who is that other person in the scene with you. Is it your best friend? Is it a kid? Is it, you know, I mean, I think it's going to really influence, is it your father? Is it, it influences the way that you interpret the copy. And I also think there's in copy, if you really take your time reading it, there's so many clues to what's important to the copywriter and to the client that you can tap into. Like, they have very carefully constructed the language. And so try to find the clues of, like, what is the main message of this? You know, what am I, what is the most important thing to this? And, yeah, it can be fun. It's like a puzzle, you know. I think it people, the other thing, I'm sure you guys get this all the time, is when you do voiceover, everyone thinks like, oh, I have a good voice, I could do voiceover. It really is right. Not about that. Yes, that's a wonderful thing, but there's a lot of people with good voices. That's not what's causing someone to be a good voiceover person. It's like that you know how to perform in a medium that's a small microphone, right? So you're not using your body as much. I mean, it's funny, I always talk with my arms, but like, I have to be very careful when I do animation because I start to jump, or, you know, and they're like, you have to stay on the mic,
sure.
You know, like, you know, like, all right, it's
smacking
not Peter.
People
yeah. And I'm like,
it's not. Right.
Yeah, exactly. So you have to, you know, there's a skill set to being able to perform in a small space like that and making it, you know, real and intimate. So, but yeah, ad copy has just as much potential, I think, for performance as animation. It's just a different focus.
That's great advice. Yeah. And I, you know, we keep trying to reiterate to everybody, it's not voiceover. You're a voiceover actor.
Yeah. Yes.
So you can't forget the acting part, which is the most important part of anything you're doing. You are an actor.
I say that to my husband all the time, because when I would help him with auditions sometimes, and, you know, it's like he's thinking about how his voice sounds because he thinks, oh, I'm doing voiceover now. I'm like, no. Do the same thing you're doing on camera. It's just you need to do it in this amount of space, but you're going to do the same. You're going to use that same part of your brain.
Exactly.
You know, don't think about how
it's
because
he was
sound.
Also, the bad guy in Adventures in Babysitting.
Exactly. So he's inherently evil and incompetent at the root of everything.
Yeah, that's what I found when I met him.
Fair enough.
That's pretty much what I...
I wonder if your dad knew Steve Downs. We had him on. Remember, Steve was a disc jockey.
Steve was a disc jockey for years and years. That name totally rings a bell.
So I have.
He's the voice of Halo.
Oh wow! So I'm sure they do.
And he was 35 years.
Oh yeah,
40
I'm
years
sure they do. Yeah. I'm sure they do. The name's so familiar. Yeah.
Yeah, that is very.
Now,
very
I have a question,
cool.
And I never really have asked this. Now, when we know that animation folks, like, all sort of, like, are very, the camaraderie is very vibrant, but what about commercial?
Yeah, I have really good commercial voiceover friends in Chicago, and I have really good voiceover commercial friends in New York. I don't have them as much in LA because we don't, although I used to when we would go to the agency to read. I feel like...
Yeah, that's, it changed
everything. Everything has changed. Those are some of my best friends in the world. I have like a total crew in New York because you're going, especially when you're all in the same, you know, you're all in the same category, and it's so different than on camera, because I feel like in on camera there's such a bigger level of competition. It's such a weirder energy. Mm-hmm. Like, people don't, you're also so way more nervous. Like, nobody's talking to each other.
It's neurotic.
It's totally neurotic. Whereas voiceover,
yeah,
you read your script, you're ready to go, and you just get to chat.
Yeah.
And everybody's just like super cool. Most people also weren't starving or terrified. Like, it was usually like people who were lucky enough and felt lucky enough. And so we would just like run around New York. I mean, some of my favorite memories of my life is running around Chicago and New York to those voiceover auditions during the day, and like seeing my friends, getting a cup of coffee. And very much so in commercial, because you're just all going out for the same thing. And I feel so terrible with the way it is now. I don't think any of us see each other anymore. And I think it's a huge loss.
No, it's totally different. It is.
Is it just not going to go back? Is it never going to go back? Or like, what do we think?
Well, it's one of those things where you get a lot of producers that it's kind of, I call it the reality show vibe, where it's, you know, you get a bunch of people that get together and they go, hey, we can take 8 people and throw them in a house and not have to pay them as actors, not have to pay writers, have to pay producers.
Oh,
why don't
so
we just
true.
Do that? It's cheaper. Right. And so you get that with voiceover now, where it's like, hey, everybody does Zoom. Everybody has a microphone. Why would we rent the space? Why would we do this? Why would we do that?
Oh, no.
So you hope it'll go back. And I think it's going to come down, frankly, to some actors starting to insist, which I think will be great. Yeah. But until then, I think this is going to be the norm for a little while.
Tired of restless nights?
Meet Lisa, the sleep expert. Here at Lisa, we know that good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. That's why their mattresses are made for exceptional comfort and support, catering to every sleep need. Check out Lisa's Sapira Hybrid Mattress, named Best Hybrid Mattress 5 years running. Sleep hot? The Chill Collection is built with cool-to-the-touch top fabric and layers of high-density comfort foams, all intended to remove excess body heat while maximizing comfort. With Lisa, getting a new mattress has never been easier. Delivery is free, and you have 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. Don't spend another night dreaming of better sleep. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to lisa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. That's leesa.com/iHeart. Exclusions apply. See lisa.com for more details.
Are you spending more time in your basement now that it's your rec room, office, kids' playroom, or home gym? Well, you need to ventilate those spaces to remove stagnant, musty air. For over 20 years, the Easy Breathe ventilation system exchanges dirty, damp air for cleaner, drier, healthier air. Take charge of your indoor air with your own Easy Breathe ventilation system. You can get it installed, or DIY kits are available. Just call 866-822-7328 or visit takechargeofyourair.com and receive 20% off today.
Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They can connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
Okay, so a couple more questions because I thought this was pretty cool. What does Julia Roberts sound like?
Oh, yes! We have to go there.
I'm just curious if you could just very quickly do a Julia Roberts. If you can't, I understand it, and I'll wait to see your Julia Roberts impression in Paranormal 3, Paranormal Activity, but...
Searching 2.
Searching too, which I still think is T.O.
Like, I got to work with her this year, and everybody, I was on Gaslit. I played her best friend from her childhood, and everyone's like, are you going to tell her? Are you going to tell her? Are you going to tell her?
Did you?
I did, but she had no idea. She's like, what are you talking about? And I was like, well like, when
you... Oh, you sounded just like her.
I even had to go back to my agent and go, like, it's legal that I do that, right? They're like, absolutely. I mean, so
yeah,
basically, if people don't know, if you're a massive movie star, like, you're so busy that if they have one line change, they're going to find a voice double to do it. Like, or, and, exactly. And I've done, like, a trailer. I did a trailer for her that was, like, almost all me. She has no idea. and I did, like, I don't know if I got used in the final, but I get, like, day residuals on, like, Snow White or some. Anyway, she has no idea.
That's
but
wild.
I learned that I.
She has
no idea.
No idea.
So I learned that I could do. I learned that I could do Julia Roberts because she was the voice of America Online, okay, years ago. It was like America.
Was
yes.
she?
Was she?
America
Online.
That's my ride or die, by the way. I'm still
no,
AOL.
No, you're
I'm
not.
Still
he is.
Yes, I
oh
am.
God,
swear to God, I'm still AOL.
Really
I will be
I think
forever.
My dad is
my
too,
ride
by
or
the way.
Yeah, my mom is. Just me and
yeah,
my mom
you,
and your dad.
The three
that's
of
it.
You. So there were all yeah. these commercials running. She'd had twins, and so she started doing voiceover. And my dad called me and said, congrats, I love the new America AOL spots. And I went, I'm not the voice of America Online. And then I was like, I got to find out who the voice is. And when I found out it was Julia Roberts, I was like, oh, my God, I guess I sound exactly like Julia Roberts if my dad thought that was my campaign.
Wow.
So I told – when I moved to L.A., I told my agents – that I must sound exactly like her because my dad thought this. So when they would have doubles casting, I auditioned for the first one. And then once they kind of know you can do it, you start to get used. So I did it. It wasn't like a ton, but I'd say maybe four times. And then
wow.
the last.
Do you change your voice
yes,
at all? Or is
I,
it
what
just
I
kind
do
of you?
Is I just go. It's not very different, by the way. It's a little more. It's
yeah.
just a little more Southern. So it's a little like I always do like the what does she say? Like, I'm just a girl. Standing in front of a boy, asking him to love her. Like, so it's a little more dry and it's, wow, and it's a little more Southern, but it's hardly different, right? It's just like, but
that's impressive.
When I went to the trailer and I was sitting next to my ex-husband at the time and I was like, you're practically married to Julia Roberts, because that is like, that's me. And I couldn't believe it. But anyway, she didn't know. And I was like, okay, zip it. She's like, what are you doing? Yeah, I was like, never mind. I don't know what I'm talking about.
That's funny.
I need to secure.
And I didn't tell her, like, oh, I guess I won't tell you that I did an impersonation of you on James Corden. So we'll just, like, skip that. She's like, are you talking about
She's
like, are you talking about Scratch or something? And I was like, yeah, no, I'm sure it was Scratch.
Yeah, no, that's it. That's all it was. Okay, so one important last question that we love to ask people. You can be any animated character you want. The voice of whoever, old, new, whatever you want to be. Who do you play?
You know what's so weird is Catwoman's coming to mind, which is very odd to me. I would not have put that as like, but I guess I think that would be really fun to be like Earth, to sound like Eartha Kitt or something. Like to be like really sexy and scary and weird. Sounds fun to me.
That's a great pick.
Be awesome. Okay.
In my other life. Because I'm more so much the mom. Maybe that's what it is too. Like, you know, I want to be like
I want to wear a
tight dress. Yeah, I want to wear the cat suit. I want to be like hot.
Yeah, I get that.
Nice.
I feel that.
Oh, my. And finally, what do you think we should put behind Christy in the green screen?
Yeah, I was going to ask, what is it? Like, what did you decide later, or?
No, I.
Exactly.
We're just, I'm like, I love it. It's just a green screen. Happened. By the way, I started to see a new therapist, and I was like, God, his office is really nice because it's by Zoom, and I realized it was one of those backdrops, and it kind of freaked me out.
Oh,
I'm like,
no.
I'm like, if I'm not even allowed,
I can't trust you.
Yeah, how can I trust you?
I can't trust you. He's like in prison.
Yeah, exactly. He could be anywhere.
That's what it is.
He's in prison. He's in solitary confinement on Zoom.
Oh my! Seriously, just call me Dr. 917-61483. Nice.
Yeah.
Wow.
Let me think. What should we put behind her? I'm trying to think of like a.
You know what we're gonna do?
I'll just wait.
I can tell you what we're gonna do.
I'll just wait like a Sims character.
No, we are just gonna put on a giant poster for Paranormal Activity 2. That's what it's going to be, right behind Christy.
I think I did.
Amy Landecker's greatest performance ever.
I think I did audition for that. I don't think I just like randomly pulled that out of my butt. I do think I auditioned for that.
It happens.
I love
Amy,
that.
It happens.
Yeah. Or just Julia Roberts behind you.
We'll just put Julia Roberts
Julia
up there.
Roberts and
exactly,
Amy just
giant
like
giant Julia
it out.
Roberts back there. Oh, no. That is awesome.
Yeah. Man, you are so talented.
Oh, thank
Amy.
You.
Thank
We're
you.
So glad
it
to have
really
you here.
It was really fun.
Thank you for joining us.
Really fun.
When the contest kicks off and we get to ad read
Ooh.
Stuff, we'd love to have you
I
come
would
back.
Love to.
If
I
you mean, can, we know you're super
I'm
busy.
I'm really not.
She's like the one.
Well, one of the things we'd like to have people do is when they get farther along in the contest for, you know, a week or so, they're going to get, it'll be
They're
going to
come stay with me or something?
A mentor. Yes, they're going to crash on your couch. They're
going to
wake up with Bradley Whitford and you standing over them going, what
He's
going to
be retching a cat. He's going to be a cat throwing up. That's how he's going to wake
up. He'll teach him that and I'll do Julia Roberts impersonations. The person
That's
will be like,
perfect.
This is insane. I'd be happy to do something. I'd love to do something like that. That sounds like...
That's awesome. Well, thank you so
thank
much.
Thank you, Amy. Thank
okay.
you.
Thank you
Bye.
For joining us. Wait, before you go, really quick, where can people find you?
I am on Instagram at Amy Landecker. I really hate it, but that is the only place.
She seems to
You
love
need to,
it.
Like, see me perform or to bother me.
Yeah, anything. You got stuff you want to press?
Take
or
away.
I'm,
any,
I just started shooting Your Honor Season 2, so that's exciting.
Okay.
And I'm on a movie that I really love. I'm not... any massive part of it, but I promote it all the time because I really love it, which is I Love My Dad with Patton Oswalt that's on demand now that just won Aww. South by this year
okay.
and just released theatrically. So you can get it on pay-per-view and it's a really great movie, a true story about this kid's dad catfished him because he wasn't talking to him anymore and he pretended he was a young woman and he kind of fell in love with his dad.
Wow.
It's really weird.
Oh, no.
Really creepy.
Oh, my God. That's amazing.
Really
wow.
funny. Cringy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Smart.
Okay.
So, yeah. That's it.
Oh, that's great. All right. Well, cool.
That sounds
Everybody
like a great movie.
Yeah, it's really good.
It does sound
and
like Patton
Oswalt's unbelievable in it. I mean, he's so really funny. Good. It's also very moving. Like, it's very cringy. I have to prepare anyone. Like, if you're not into cringe comedy, don't watch it because you're not going to like it. But if you like a good cringe, this is like top-notch cringe.
Everybody loves it. Yeah. They try to say everybody they don't, and yet yeah. they do. Yeah.
And now, before you go, as Julia Roberts, can you say, please join the super awesome contest become the next voice actor? You actually don't have to if you don't want to.
She could say, I hear voices. Right?
No, I want to try the long line.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, you got to feed it to her. Do you know it?
Wait,
oh my
I'm
God,
gonna,
Amy,
no,
so
I'm sure
pro.
I don't. I'm going to do my version. I'm going to improv it.
Okay, go ahead.
Super awesome.
Please join this super awesome contest to be the world's next most famous, fabulous Julia Roberts impersonating voiceover actor. There, that's it.
Oh, you're the best. Thank you so much,
great.
Amy.
All right.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye, Amy. Thank you.
Wow.
We love you.
Wow. I don't even know what to say. First of all, can we talk very briefly about the amazing advice she just gave voiceover actors about reading ads, about how important that is?
I mean, honestly,
huge.
Huge. I as a female voice person that doesn't have 1,000 voices and isn't really plugged into the game, if I were to go back in, I would think that I would probably book commercial work before I book my next animation, like regular series, because I've just not been in it for a while. But what she's saying is really sound, because it is purely intention. And I do think you can make a living in many different ways. There's not just one way to make a living with
but
being a
voice
actor.
But think about, I mean, the just her advice of it's like, it's not about thinking about you. It's about thinking about who you're talking to. And
who
that person is that's receiving the monologue, taking it like an acting monologue instead of a commercial, and the person that's actually received. That's
totally
brilliant advice.
Like, regardless of what the words say, that is a huge takeaway from her. And, you know, I think we could do this, Will, where we do the takeaways from these guests just so that the people can go back and listen to these and sort of, like, take these nuggets of information with them, you know, for our contest or whatever it is. But honestly, she's
oh,
a wonderful
man. That was,
lady.
That
I
was
really
a ton
enjoyed
of fun.
Well,
thanks
her.
Everybody for hanging out with us yet again. And don't forget, we will be announcing more about the super awesome contest to become the next big voice actor. Ooh, I'm getting better at saying that. I'm also assuming that's the title.
I'm not.
We'll get there, Christy. We'll get there. But there will be much more information coming out about it because our amazing friends at iHeart have made this happen. So there's some incredible, incredible announcements coming up. I mean, truly incredible stuff. We are just getting all of our ducks in a row, as it were. But keep tuning in every week to learn more about it. You can also hit us up at the I Hear Voices TikTok and I Hear Voices on Instagram and anywhere else that
Instagram.
You might need it. Mm-hmm. And again, if... Yeah, go ahead.
Anywhere else that...
Anywhere where
Will
I am
not,
so I won't
Will
know what you're saying. But please try to keep it nice, because Christy looks at this stuff. But enjoy yourselves out there. And don't forget, if you think you have what it takes to step up to the microphone, well... Put your voices where your mouth is. Thanks, everybody.
Bye.
I Hear Voices is hosted by Will Friedle and Christy Carlson Romano. Executive produced by Will Friedle, Brendan Rooney, Amy Sugarman, and Vicky Ernst Chang. Our executive in charge of production is Danielle Romo. Our producer is Lorraine Virouez, and our editor/engineer is Brian Burton. And that was my announcer voice.
Some side effects of listening to I Hear Voices are sore abs from hilarity, falling down the Coco Melon rabbit hole, sneezing due to mass nostalgia, and hugs.
Follow I Hear Voices wherever you listen to podcasts so you don't miss any of the amazing voices.
Be sure to follow us on Instagram and TikTok at I Hear Voices Podcast. To see the video stream, subscribe to my YouTube channel.
You can also check us out on MySpace, Omegle, Vine, LimeWire, AAM, and Napster.
Okay, well, let's teach you about the internet.
The who?
Are you spending more time in your basement now that it's your rec room, office, kids' playroom, or home gym? Well, you need to ventilate those spaces to remove stagnant, musty air. For over 20 years, the Easy Breathe ventilation system exchanges dirty, damp air for cleaner, drier, healthier air. Take charge of your indoor air with your own Easy Breathe ventilation system. You can get it installed, or DIY kits are available. Just call 866-822-7328 or visit takechargeofyourair.com and receive 20% off today.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Tanner, girl, go shopping.
Yeah, baby!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Managing your diabetes just got easier. The powerful new Dexcom G7 lets you see your glucose numbers on your compatible watch and phone without fingersticks. And because Dexcom G7 is the most accurate CGM system, you can be confident in your food, exercise, and medication decisions. And all those decisions can lead to big results, like more time in range and lower A1C. Get started at Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.